It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters 10 o'clock hour. So much to get to. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. We will take your calls and questions again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB Talk. If you have questions, WSB Talk, if you have questions about where you're headed as an investor. Today, we're talking investor versus saver. Huge difference between the two. We're going to discuss that today. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Part of what prompted today's thoughts, and we will get to the kind of a micro view on a company and a sector that are is an interesting analog for where we stand in a market where earnings have been fantastic, but stocks haven't gone anywhere for a little while. 18% higher earnings, profits 18% higher, yet stocks are down on the year. Profit margins up at 11%, which is the highest level we've seen since the third quarter of 2008. Net profit margins are at a decade, the highest they've been in an entire decade. We see over 80% of companies surprising to the upside. Caterpillar, fantastic earnings. United Technologies, Verizon, 3M, Alphabet from Google, just phenomenal. Yet prices haven't done a whole lot. This week, the Dow was down about 0.6%. The S&P was down just a fraction of a percent. Let's call it flat. Year to date, net negative on the S&P 500. The Dow Jones is net negative 1.5% year to date, despite all the great news. And that's part of being an investor. There's a lot of patience involved. Markets don't go straight up like an escalator, like we saw in 2016 and 2017. We got used to this really easy, low volatility market, marching higher every week, every quarter, for 2 years straight. And that's not how it really typically works. It's much choppier than that over time. And we're rewarded for that, for enduring that choppiness. So we're gonna get into that today. And I will go to the phones in just a minute and take some calls here. But part of what prompted this discussion of whether you're a saver or an investor, this week in Barron's, there's an article, it's on page 16 if you happen to have Barron's, that says, the title of this is From Capital, with an O, C-A-P-I-T-O-L, to Capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L. So basically from Washington to Wall Street. And it is there's a research company that I've been involved with for a long time, and Barron's happened to do an article about something that I've been talking about now for over 2 years, and that's the Strategus Research Partners, and really famous for their political research and how they are able to track and try to find outcomes for political outcomes by looking at different kinds of companies. So think of it, and you go back many, many years and when they started to develop this, hey, let's take all the companies that would benefit from this new Republican policy that's on the docket, and let's track that versus a basket of companies that would benefit from a Democratic, let's call it, sweep in Congress. Let's take a look at an index that favors companies that have lots of money that could be repatriated or come back to the U.S. If this new law happens, we should start to see the companies that would really benefit from that creeping higher to give us an indication of where policy is headed. So it's a really fascinating way to do research because the markets sniff these things out before they happen. And what has come out of that over many years of putting these together, they effectively backed into finding a strategy that does really, really well relative to the market. And if you've listened to Money Matters for the last couple of years, you probably know where I'm headed, and that's towards the lobby index. the lobby index, which is effectively identifying companies that have they're tremendously smart about how they spend their money in Washington to influence policy. And they're the ones that are smart about effectively getting the most for the biggest bang for their lobbying buck, as Hal Barron's puts this. It can really weigh heavily to the upside on company earnings. So the companies that get this right have trounced the general stock market. And today, part of our this conversation about being a good investor is maintaining an eye for opportunity and maintaining an eye for a brighter future. There's a lot of financial radio out there that newsletters galore that just begin scare the devil out of you, because there's a lot of scary things out there. It doesn't mean the overall environment we live in is terrible. Terrible pieces, but not a terrible environment. And if you pull out all the things that are going wrong and you focus on that, then you're never gonna go anywhere. You're never really gonna be an investor. You've got to take the totality of the economy that we live in, the totality of the economic system that we are in, the rule of law in the United States that is so powerful, yet nobody ever talks about how we do business here relative to the rest of the world, and just how much and how far that goes for building wealth in the United States. And you have to go no further than Buffett's annual letter this year. It shows very plainly on one piece of paper his rates of return for the S&P 500, rates of return for his holding company, if you will, finding good companies, finding companies that pay dividends that then that he reinvests those dividends. And it's the power of that over time is just enormous. And it really can't be overstated. And this is not hyperbole at all. These are just facts and these are numbers. And if you go back to 1965, the S&P 500 is compounded to the end of 2017 at 9.9%. Phenomenal. That's a phenomenal rate of return if you've done that. That's 15,508% to be exact. If you've done this in a slightly better way, and I would say this is maybe even more a dramatically better way, and you've been an investor in something like Berkshire Hathaway, you would have experienced a 20.9% annual rate of return, which is it just on the surface, 20%. Yeah, that happens in markets. In 2017, that's what the S&P did. It was up 21.9% total return. But to average that over a multi-decade period of time, you end up with just a tremendous, tremendous rate of return. And there goes my coffee mug. I get so excited as I talk about this. The tremendous rate of return where you get 2.4 million percent rate of return compounded over time. That's the per share market value of Berkshire over from 1965 to 2017. 2,404,748% to be exact. And that is building wealth. That is building just enormous wealth. And why I'm talking about that today is because I'm reminded as I picked up my copy of Barron's this week, and they talk about how the lobby index this is the title of their article, Strategic Lobbying Index Yields Fat Returns, because it has. And this is the kind of opportunity that I've talked about here. I don't really jump up and down about rates of return and you have to get in this because it's done better than that. I just want you to be an investor in something and stick with it. So if you look at this lobbying index, which is 50 companies out of the S&P 500 that are all the most intense and the most effective in how they do business in Washington, and it's really helped their companies. The article talks about how MasterCard has been in the index since February of 2009. We know that MasterCard basically is a duopoly along with Visa, and it's got a tremendously strong balance sheet, and it's had a spectacular run as a stock. And That's another example that really understands how to do business in Washington. Is they spend a lot of money and a lot of time protecting their turf as a company, whether it's on payment processing or it's on tax reform or it's on trade. These companies get it and know how to make sure that things go in their favor. There's a couple other companies that are mentioned in the article that do something similar and are effective in Washington. FedEx is one of those companies. Raytheon, the defense company, is another one. Vertex Pharmaceuticals, which I've written about as well. So I just tweeted this out. I don't do a ton on Twitter. I don't know how much our audience does Twitter, but just as a reminder, I wrote about this. I've written about this many, many times for the last couple, quite frankly, for the last several years. So this is nothing new to Money Matters listeners. We're a couple years ahead of this Barron's article, but the title of this, and I'm going to go to Washington. Let's go Washington. And if you go to my website, just go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, and you search for Washington, you'll see under the money tab, Washington's recent policy moves driving markets. And so here's the title: When DC Meets Wall Street. That's the title of the article. So if you go to westmoss.com, it talks about this lobbying strategy. Now it's done as an index, which has beaten markets by almost 4% on average per year. 4% per average on year. That's enormous wealth building. So if you are a saver and the interest rates have gone up and that's a good thing for you, go to the bank, right? And have some money in CDs, and you're going to get 1.5% and 2% these days, which is great. It's much better than it's been over the last 8 years. If you want to be an investor, then I'm happy to have a conversation. I talk to new people every single day or every single week. I talk to new families who they want their money to do more for them. They have said, wait a minute, I want this money to actually work for me. And you can find a lot of information about that at my website, wesmoss.com. And there's an email button upper right-hand corner, and those emails come straight to me and my team, and I'm happy to schedule a time to chat about this and the lobbying index as something that I've been very active in and invest in myself for many, many years now. With that, hey, more Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, an optimistic Sunday morning. Client of mine, friend of mine, said that, gosh, Wes, you got 4 little kids. You must be an optimist in order to do that. To bring that many kids into the world and the world we live in, I think it's a good world we live in. And there is a lot of opportunity in the world we live in. And that's what we talk about here on Money Matters. The article that we've been talking about in Barron's that is about the lobby index and how it's done so much better than the general market over the last, call it, decade or so. If you look at when DC, the article that I published about this many, many months ago, the title of it is When DC Meets Wall Street, Capitalizing on Companies Working Well in Washington. So if you're at westmoss.com, you can search for DC Meets Wall Street. What Barron's will publish, and I'm very careful not to jump up and down about performance, but you look at how this is done relative to the general market since 2009. The general market, from the nadir of markets coming higher, finally bouncing, S&P 500 up about 300%. The lobby portfolio up 472%. 472% over that period of time. That is being an investor. And that is how we build wealth. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Upper right-hand corner, that email button comes straight to me and the team. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Back live. Your calls and questions in this segment, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB Talk. I just tweeted about the article we've been talking about in Barron's. The title of it, Strategic Lobbying Index Yields Fat Returns. The reason I'm kind of jumping up and down about this is that I've been talking about this for 2.5 some years. I've had Dan Clifton, kind of the inventor of this, the proprietor, if you will, of this research and the strategy about how companies do well if they're really smart about Washington. And this is a portfolio that I've been invested in for some time now. It's 50 companies from the S&P 500. If you've got, I just tweeted this out. So if you're on Twitter, my Twitter handle is at WesMoss365. I think Twitter's sometimes kind of difficult to find people on. But if you're on Twitter, my Twitter handle is just WesMoss365, meaning that I'm Twittering 365 days a year. I guess that's why we did that. So WESMOSS. So it's just, Wes is just one S, WESMOSS365. And the tweet that I just sent out, Barron's, it's not me, this is Barron's, just published an article that shows that the Strategus Lobbying Index, it's a group of 50 companies, it gets rebalanced every quarter from the S&P 500, is up 427.93% since 2017-09. I mean, if you got money lying around doing nothing, why wouldn't you look at something like this? You've got a bunch of underperforming stuff. Maybe it's even in indexes that aren't all that good. I mean, there's thousands of them now. There are more indexes today than there are individual ETFs. There's been an explosion of indexes. And when you've got 5 or 6 or 7 thousand different indexes to choose from, I know it gets almost to the point where people just throw their hands in the air and say, oh, what's the most common one? Ah, it's the S&P. Let's just put it in that. But don't let the swirl just stop you from opportunity. Don't let the swirl stop you from being a better investor. That's just lazy. It's just complacent. Nobody ever got anywhere being lazy or complacent. We're a show about opportunity. And I think that the reason I'm on that soapbox today is that so much of the world around us is not. So much of the world around us is about fear and how things are falling apart, and you know, the trade issues are going to ruin the economy, and interest rates are going up, so it's going to crush economic growth, and the stock market's not a good place to be. That's just all fear talk. And it sells easily, by the way. That's why so much media is about fear. Fear about this and fear about that. That's why you see a fire on the evening news. It's easy to get people's attention. Oh, I don't want to be part of a fire. Let me watch and make sure I protect myself. That's human nature. What is not human nature is to necessarily dwell on opportunity and the positive. It's a lot easier to be running from something than creating something or building something. And investing is about building wealth over time. And you've got to the only way to do that is to be an investor. Saving is one thing, and we've got to have the discipline to save, and that's the start of it. But the real power is putting that money to work for you, to compound over time. That's really been our theme today. And I kind of was reminded of that, even though I didn't plan on talking about any of this today on Money Matters. We'll talk next week more about what I had originally said we'd talk about. There's just such a powerful reminder, and I'm here to help you, wake you up from that. There is opportunity, and don't let the clutter of negative and just the sheer volume of choice relegate you to a corner of doing nothing or saving, getting 1 or 2% a year. Over time, that doesn't build anything. It doesn't build any wealth. And I don't want you to be part of that camp. I want you to grow your assets. The book that you've heard me talk about forever, You Retire Sooner Than You Think, or You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. It's all about getting to a place as quickly as possible so you do not have to work and your money is working for you. That's the whole point of it. I want to see you not have to work. Sure, if you want to work and you love it, and some folks do, yeah, listen to what Susie Orman says and work till you're 70, 75. That's fine if it's part of your life and part of your core pursuit. But I want you to have a life that is totally enriched, and that the money is a vehicle to do the pursuits, the core pursuits that you might have, as opposed to a commute that's an hour and a half every day in each direction that's draining you and that's just, quite frankly, killing you. I've seen it over and over again, and it makes me very uncomfortable to see people in that position. I hate it when I hear those stories, and I meet with folks almost every day of the week, and I hear that story a couple times every single week, and I have for so many years about how, you know, news, weather, traffic. Well, the traffic is effectively it's this oppressive, very unhealthy thing that so many of us have to just get through to have a job, and we want to be able to avoid that. Anyway, so that's the topic of obviously of today. So the key here, if you're on Twitter, you can find the article I just tweeted out. I've been writing about this for a long time. This is how this lobby portfolio, which is very much like the S&P, but has been a heck of a lot better over the last many, many years, to the tune of 472.93% since February of 2009. Pretty tremendous. And it's about opportunity, and it's about being smart. Don't let the abundance of choice paralyze you into doing nothing or settling for inferior investing. It's not how America was built, and I don't want to see you fall into that same trap. Let me go to the phones here and calm down for a minute, and we'll talk about Procter & Gamble soon, this example of something that I want you to be aware of as a potential opportunity. But let's just start with Robert in Loganville. You've been hold for a while. Robert, how can I help, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Wes. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
In your YouTube video, How to Never Run Out of Money in Retirement and the 4% Rule, two parts of the analysis are a 50-50 split in equity and bond and rebalancing every year. How critical is the 50-50, for example, if you're 60 equity or 70 equity? And what are some guidelines on rebalancing that?
Robert brings up a really important, two huge topics. The main overarching topic, what Robert's talking about here, is that there's been the industry standard for since the early 90s. William Bengen, who was a financial planner, but really a researcher, he was an aeronautical engineer from MIT, became a financial planner, and was the first to really do this work that showed, hey, what if I retired in any one of these given years, 1929, 1952, 1973, how long did that money last? His goal was to say, let's get it to 50 years, because that's usually as long as retirement can last on the long end, and effectively showed that as long as you took 4% out in year one and then ratcheted that dollar number up for whatever inflation was, that withdrawal rate in the initial year of 4%, again, plus inflation, was the sustainable, kind of the maximum and sustainable number. And in 80% of the cases, people, the money lasted 50 years, 20%, it ran out. But even in that 20%, it lasted about 30, right? Or 35 in his research. And I redid that was done in really from data that only went up to 1990. And we redid that entire study up to 2017 numbers, right? And we found that similar, but I wanted to include some of these really tough periods of time, like in retiring in the year 2000. You know, that was a really tough time to retire because you had 3 years in a row of negative markets. What about retiring in 2007? Boom, you had this one of the worst markets we've seen in history. And the numbers come out similar to what Bengen said, meaning that most of my scenarios, kind of worst case scenario, was 30 years. Most 70% of the time it still lasted 50 years. But Robert brings up the very important other piece of that equation, is that what's it invested in? Bengen showed that if you did 50% in equities, 50% in the total return of the 10-year treasury bond, that was the mix that he used or optimized. And the key, though, is that you rebalanced it every year. And and there's a couple important pieces of that. The main part is that you're constantly buying low and selling high. That's what rebalancing does for you. It means that if your stocks did really well in a given year and bonds did poorly, you sold a little bit of those stocks, you took that money and repurchased bonds, so you got back to a 50-50 split between the two. What was interesting is that it didn't have to be 50% equities, Robert, and that's why I think where you're going.
Yeah.
The study goes on to show that you can do this with 60% and actually go all the way up to 70%, and the numbers still work out in a similar fashion. Obviously, you get a little bit more. You get some more extremes, Robert, if you're that high and if you're that heavily weighted towards equity, 70%. But but 70% still works as long as you're doing the rebalancing. So from 50 works all the way to 70 works. When you get beyond the 70, it's too volatile, and it throws some of the really difficult periods of time into a tailspin. You run out of money.
Okay.
So that is a wonderfully important question. That is, hey, what's the mix? How much do I need to stick with that 50 equity, 50 fixed income mix? It is important in principle, but there's some real leeway to the upside in equities. If you go lower than that, Robert, if you go down to 40 and 30% in equities, then your money does not last as long. And I would be careful dropping below 50, but okay to certainly go above 50. Super important question. And thank you, Robert, for the call. The article that he's talking about, A, you can find it on YouTube. And the title of the YouTube video is, wow, I don't even know, how to make your money. He said it. Robert said it. how to never run out of money in retirement. So that would, if you're on YouTube, the video is all about this study that we redid as a team, which took obviously a lot of time to recreate this seminal study, if you will, but updated it. And I go over all that research in the YouTube video. So if you're on YouTube, go to just Wes Moss Money Matters. Is the YouTube channel, and the video is how to never run out of money in retirement. And it's basically explaining how you do this 4% rule. Let me talk about an example. I said I'd zoom in on some topics today. Procter & Gamble, it's a company that's gotten hit pretty hard over the last year. The Procter & Gambles of the world are not going away, and I'm going to talk more about why next weekend, but the reality here is that this is a stock that's still producing tremendous earnings. It's down about 20%. Still very profitable, but the stock price hasn't done all that well recently. And it's trading well below its long-term average of about 18.5 times earnings, but it yields almost 4% today. Consider this. Since 1980, Procter & Gamble has yielded above 3.5%, and that's almost always been associated with a stock price falling so that the yield rises above 3.5% because they haven't cut their dividend. So lower cost for the stock usually is a higher yield because the dividend stays the same. It's only happened about 20% of the time, but when it happens, and this is one of the phases that we're in today, the average rate of return for Procter & Gamble over the next 12 months, 28%. So when you see a company that's this strong in earnings get hit, the average rate of return over the next year is 28%. 12-month forward returns when Procter & Gamble yields over 3.5 have been positive 96% of the time when you're buying Procter & Gamble with a yield above 3.5%. So again, this could, markets always change, and this could be one of those, maybe it's different this time, different than history, but I doubt it. I doubt that this time is, quote, different for P&G. So much to talk about. We're going to come back here. Again, find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com. We're in the Atlanta area. If you're outside of Atlanta, you can find us or call. If you're in Atlanta, so we're happy to sit down and kind of go through what is holding you back as an investor. If you're not satisfied or you're thinking, hey, I'm just missing something, we're happy to talk that through and try to get you back on track or a better place to be. The website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Those emails, there's a envelope in the upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. So just a fun morning here. And I know we talked a lot about opportunity. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that I think I was hit with a bunch of, you know, I get a cascade of, hey, isn't the world falling apart? Isn't interest rates are going up and it's going to ruin the economy? And aren't tariffs going to come back into the fold and ruin GDP growth? And isn't the world a mess? And the answer is sure, there's scary stuff that you can't dismiss completely. But it doesn't mean that it outweighs all the positives, all the consumer sentiment and retail sales and housing. And even though rates are going up, they're still historically low and inflation is in check and manufacturing is kicking higher and earnings and employment continue to get stronger and stronger. And we can't dismiss that either. And that's part of my job here on Sunday mornings, to bring that to you. And thank you so much for being with us today. You can find me and the Money Matters team. We're here in Atlanta. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Email me today throughout the week. Happy to discuss your particular situation. If you're just stuck, we're happy to help you find opportunity. With that, I wish you a profitable rest of this Sunday. Stay tuned to the best program on the planet right here at News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.